Good morning. It's a privilege to be here to address the Olam. It's wonderful to see the beautiful kol that Rav Shon has built up. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should give him siyata d'shmaya and continued hatzlacha, and should be on tzliach in his, all of his avodas hakodesh. When the brothers of Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, so Chazal tell us they fanned out throughout Mitzrayim. They each entered through another gate in order to search for Yosef. They searched high and low. Yosef was nowhere to be found. Suddenly they get called in front of the Mishnah Melech, the second in command in Mitzrayim. Now this second in command went by he had a pen name, if you will. He had a murky background. No one seemed to know where he was from, who his family was. And he coincidentally was the exact age that Yosef HaTzadik was. The brothers get called in front of him, and he takes an intense interest in their family. And as Rashi points out, he knew all the Shvatim, he knew their names, he knew the age in which they were born, and he had a tremendous amount of personal information about the entire Mishpacha. They have the whole back and forth, all the incidents that the parasha goes through. And throughout this incident, when the Shvatim saw something was happening, what was on their mind was, this is a punishment for what we did for Yosef, this is payback. Yosef was very much on their mind throughout the whole incident. The incident continues to unfold, and this Mishnah Lamelech, this mysterious person, now takes an intense obsession with Binyamin. The question is that when we finally get to Ani Yosef, when Yosef finally reveals himself, it's a shocker. The brothers are unable to talk. Chazal tell us they literally died from the shock and from the embarrassment. Why didn't they see it coming? In retrospect, it's much easier, of course, when you finish the book, to go back and say it was obvious all along. But these are the Shiftei Ka. These were very wise people. It's true Yosef had a beard, but with all the hints, with all the ramazim, why didn't anyone suspect it? But Bali Musar tell us that people see what they want to see. And if the Shiftei Ka had decided many years ago that Yosef was the Roidif and they were the Nerdif, if they had decided the dreams that Yosef would be a king and then the Shvatim would bow down to him, they decided it was not Divrei Nevuah, it was delusions of someone who wanted to be a melech over them. So once they made that decision, once they made that hachlata, people tend to interpret information, to see it based on their negius, based on their assumptions, based on their beliefs. There's a confirmation bias, if you will. We find this all the time in Dinei Torah. You can have it in Torah. We had a homeowner and a contractor can have a dispute. The homeowner will come to Beis Din and say that this contractor didn't perform, everything that he did was delayed, everything was over budget, and he wasn't responsive, he wasn't returning my phone calls, he was ignoring my emails, it was a terrible relationship. The contractor will then get up, and he'll tell Bezdin a completely different story. He'll say that throughout the process, this homeowner constantly changed his mind. He was constantly, I would do something, he'd make me rip it out, do it over again. His wife didn't like it like this, wanted it like that. He would harass me endlessly over the smallest of details, and constantly not letting me do my job. And as the Din Torah unfolds, what becomes obvious is that both parties are telling the truth. It's true. But what's happening is that each person focuses on his narrative. Each person focuses on the avla that the other person did. Each person focuses on all the things that the other fellow did wrong. And his flaws or his shortcomings, he has an explanation for each one of them. So the end result is each of them is convinced that I'm the tzaddik, the other person is the one who is completely wrong, completely unjustified. And that is why, or one of the reasons why, you need a Beis Din. You need to go to a third party who is impartial, who's objective, who can look at it from the outside and give an unbiased psak, an unbiased opinion. Now today's topic, we're going to focus specifically on Arkois, on the obligation and the iser of going to Arkoyos, of litigating in civil court. Now, to begin with, just give you a story, slightly modified, first to protect the guilty, and also just to fit the shaila at hand. But a number of years ago, a fellow had an idea for an app. So he met with a developer. They sat down, explained to him his idea. They went through the business model. And before they sat down, he had him sign an NDO, a non-disclosure agreement, NDA. And they sat down, he went through the idea, explained to him what the rationale was. They went back and forth and negotiated for a while. But ultimately, nothing happened. The fellow with the idea ended up pursuing another idea that he thought would be more lucrative. The developer went on his own way, and it was forgotten. A few months ago, the fellow who had this idea hears about an app that had just been produced. It had just raised a round of venture capital, and this company was valued at $100 million. He looks at this app, and it looks very familiar. In fact, whoever developed this app seemed to have had the exact same idea that he did. Digs a little deeper, and he discovers that, lo and behold, one of the people who he had met with years earlier to discuss the development had gone on their own and developed this app. They were very successful. They had released it. It was very popular. He had just gone through another round of funding. So the fellow immediately hires a top attorney that specializes in intellectual property, goes through the agreement that's signed, and he was convinced he has this slam dunk lawsuit. Drafts the papers, files off, you can imagine, a couple of inches worth of legal documents, going through everything, suing for huge amounts of damages. A few weeks later, he gets a response in the mail. Opens up the letter, he sees it's a very thin letter, a little bit surprising. Opens it up, and he sees there's a handwritten note: "Dear sir, we received your lawsuit. However, we are both from Jews. And as from Jews, we follow halacha. I showed your legal papers to my Rav, and based on his analysis, I don't owe you a dime. If you disagree, I'll be happy to sit down with you at a Beis Din, a mutually agreeable Beis Din, and we can deal with the matter like from Jews." Now this person has a problem. His lawyer is telling him he has a slam dunk case, damages worth millions of dollars. His counterparty is saying that, at least in his belief, al pi halacha, he doesn't owe him a dime, and he wants to deal with this matter in Beis Din. What is the halacha? What are his obligations? What are his responsibilities? So this brings us to the Issur v'Arkoyos, and I'd like to at least begin by reading the Mechaber inside. Again, if anyone has any questions along the way, feel free to ask. I'm not going to be here for the question and answer session. I have a flight to make, but as we go along, if anything's not clear or if you have questions, feel free to interrupt. So the Mechaber begins in Simen Chavav, Asur lo doim b'fnei dayonei goyim uv'Arkoyos shalahem. It is forbidden to litigate in front of judges who are not Jewish and in their civil courts. These are Arkoyos, is the place where the courthouse, where the Goyim litigated their disputes. Mechaber continues, V'yafilu b'din shedonim b'dinei Yisrael. Even if, coincidentally, the civil law and halacha are the same, the results will be identical. If in civil court you'll owe $5 million, a Beis Din would paskin the same. Nevertheless, the litigation itself in Arkoyos is forbidden. So we're not dealing with taking money that you're not entitled to. If you go to Beis Din, the Beis Din will concur. But the fact that you are litigating the matter in a civil court, in a goyish court, that itself is aser. Mechaber continues, V'yafilu nisratzu beis balei dinim lodom b'fneihem. Even if both parties prefer going to court. Now, unfortunately, this happens. There are a number of horror stories about Beis Din, and you can have a situation where both parties in the dispute, say we've heard enough, we don't want to go to Bezdin, we'd prefer going to civil court. Nevertheless, even though both parties agreed, it still would be usur. And what this demonstrates is the Isser Arkoyes is not a Dover Sheva moment. If the Isser was simply gzeila, you're taking money that you're not entitled to, so then in cases where the civil law and halacha coincide, it should be okay. If it was only an Isser of mamon, the question of taking money you're not entitled to, then if the parties agree to go to court, so you can agree, you can do whatever you want. What we see clearly is that it's not simply a question of dinei mamonis. And the Mechaber continues and explains that it's usur. B'chol habal lidayim b'fneihem, someone who violates this halacha, he goes to civil court. Harezeh rasha, he is a rasha. Ukilu chirev v'gidei v'heirim ya b'tayrus ma'isha v'en olav v'shalim. He is chas v'shalim, mecharev, megadif. He is a blasphemer. He is considered a kofer be'ikar. These are fighting words. The Mechaber is not given to hyperbole and to give musr. But nevertheless, in introducing this halacha, it's important to understand it's not just a question of dollars and cents. It's not just a question of that one party may end up with more or less than they're entitled to a halacha. The very fact that a person or both of them submit their dispute to our kais is a chil Hashem. Ve'elu ha'mishpatim asher tasim b'fneihem. When a person goes to court, what he's doing, he's making a very public declaration that although he's Jewish, although he's a from Yid, and when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Kashrus, he would not dream about violating halacha. What he's publicly stating is that when it comes to dinei mamonos, when it comes to financial disputes, he's not interested. He doesn't care, chas v'shalom, what Torah, what halacha has to say about a matter. He believes that the courts are more fair, more just, and that is an incredible chil shem shamayim. And because it is a chil Hashem, even if both parties agree, it's not a dollars and cents question, the very fact that they're going to Arkoyis is a chil Hashem and it would be asur. Kesef Kadashim writes that if a party goes to Arkoyis shaloi kedin, he litigates in court in violation of this halacha, so he cannot be counted as for a minyan. He's a Rasha, you can't count, you can no longer count him for a minyan. We actually had this problem once. There was a din Torah. The matter had been in court, and until finally it was able to get it out of court into the Beis Din. But clearly, one of the parties who had gone to court, Shloike Din, certainly had not done tshuva, and during the din Torah, it was dragged out throughout the day, and we had to stop for a mincha break. Now, as it were, there were the Dayanim, there were the Tainim, there were multiple people on each side. We had exactly 10 people. But the problem is, one of them had been in our Koyis Shaloi Kedin. According to the Kesef Kadashim, we didn't have a minyan. So we had to come up with a diplomatic way of pulling in a tzenter. And according to the Kesef Kadashim, that's the halacha. Now, the Mishnah Berurah seems to argue, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to hold, that because today this halacha is not well known, people have a din, perhaps as a shoygig. He does say that a person who goes to Arkoyis, although we're not machmer that much, he says, but I'll call upon him during the Yom Neirom, he cannot daven for the Yomid. So if the Baal Tefillah is someone who has sued another Jew in court, during the Yom Neirom, you disqualify him. It is generally very hard to fire a chazan. You have a chazaka, it's difficult to remove him from his shteller, from his position. But if he went to Arkoyis, shaloi kedin, he is no longer qualified.
Is this only by mumness? What about if it's dinning the pashas that the person killed someone or something? Could the person take him to a non-Jewish court, or should he take him to a...
Well, in general, when you kill someone, you don't sue someone for... I mean, if a civil matter where you're suing the person for damages, that would not be different. Now, if there's a murderer on the loose, and the only way to protect society is to go to... It's not our case, it's going to the police... So then if there's a roidif who is a danger to the public, then this halacha clearly would not apply. Beis Din is not in a position to go ahead and to catch a murderer and put him to death.
But the idea is then whenever it's not in Beis Din's ability...
Okay, we'll get to that. That is a good point, but clearly when there is a murderer on the loose, one way to explain it is, if the problem here is, Aveinu Pulilin, that it's looked at as a public rejection of halacha when you choose, instead of going to Bezdin, to go to court. So then in a case where you're dealing with a murderer on the loose, where Bezdin does not have the ability to deal with that issue, it's something which it's in the domain of the courts, you are not rejecting halacha, you're not making a chilul Hashem, you're simply turning to the only people capable of dealing with it. So certainly when there's a sakana, this halacha will not apply. You have all sorts of issues of what is a sakana, what isn't a sakana, you'll deal with that and you'll speak to your local rav if you're in the unfortunate situation that this comes up. So, I mean, divorce, I don't know why it can't be ignored. It's true you will ultimately need a civil divorce, but as far as the terms of the divorce, as far as the halachos of a get and the halachos of ksuba and what should be done, that is very much a halacha matter. And that's something which should be dealt with. The truth is it shouldn't be dealt with any, it should be mediated. It should be settled on its own. But if that proves to be impossible, then it should be dealt with in Bezdin that will apply halacha to the particular set of circumstances. Once Bezdin finishes, then certainly they will file a civil divorce simply because that needs to be done, but that's not litigation. That is not arkois, that's simply filing paperwork the same way you would get a marriage license. A marriage license is not arkois.
Why not?
It's not litigation. A marriage license is, first of all, it's something which a Bezdin can give you, a marriage license. A rav can arrange a kedushin and chuppah, but the marriage license, which is relevant to civil matters, is something which a Bezdin can't do. But more importantly, it's not litigation. It's filing a paper. It's no more arkois than a driver's license.
But so a thief or something.
Hmm?
It doesn't have to be dinei nefashos, right? Even a thief, let's say, or maybe.
Okay, so a thief is, we're really shifting over now because we're not dealing with arkois. We're not dealing, if your question is recovering stolen goods, so the same way you can sue someone because he didn't pay you or because there's a partnership that went bad, that's a halacha shaila that should be litigated in Bezdin. If you believe someone stole from you, that's also a civil halacha shaila. You should bring the ganav to Bezdin and deal with it. Now, if you hear noises one night and there's someone downstairs, you do not have to call Rabbi Shon. You can call the police to take care of it because that is not a Bezdin matter. But once after the fact, when you want to recover it from a particular person, if he is Jewish, then there was a chiyuv to bring him to Bezdin and to recover. So this
is... I'm sorry. In Europe or whatever, where they would punish such people in Jewish courts always had the ability throughout history, right, to punish such people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little different.
Well, okay, but then you will have very, very rare cases where there is a concept where someone is a menace to society, where already comes Dr. Moshe brings down Rami Risberg, that in such cases, the halakas, we've really shifted more to Mesira than to Arkais. In specific cases where it's a danger to society, there are cases where it's mutter. In this, if it comes up, again, you have Rabbanim, local Rabbanim and Poskim to discuss the matter with. Just making the general point that an exception does exist when it comes up, you'll ask a shaila. So this is the Mechaber's Hakdama. That what we're dealing with is not simply a question of Dine Mominus. It is a question of a tremendous Chil Hashem. However, we also cannot ignore the fact that in most cases, we're dealing with issue of Gezel as well. Let's go back to our app developer. Let's assume for a moment that this fellow's Rav was correct. And in Halacha, that based on the story that happened, there would be no claim against this person who went ahead and developed this idea. Let's make that assumption. True, not true, not relevant to the conversation today. On the other hand, this fellow's attorney convinced him that if he files in court, he's going to recover a minimum of $10 million. If he goes ahead and does that, besides the Yisr HaKos, besides the issue of Chil Hashem, he's a Gazlan. Because if in Halacha, the fellow owes him nothing, and you're using the civil courts as a way to force him to pay you $10 million, that is roughly the equivalent of breaking into his house one night, emptying out his vault of all his jewelry or whatever else he has in it, and walking off. It is straight out gezeila. Now, there is a concept of dina d'malchus adina, There is a concept in many, very often halacha will be influenced by the civil law. But that's a matter that Bezin has to address. And it is possible, because of Dina Malchus Adina, perhaps Bezin would agree, you do owe the $10 million. But if in this particular case, even after the concept of Dina Malchus Adina, Bezin determines your potter, and you force the fellow to pay through the civil courts, you've essentially robbed him. In fact, Rabbeinu Bechaya says that it's worse than regular gezeila. Because a person who goes ahead and robs a bank, it's true, he's a ganav, he's a thief, he's a rasha. But chances are, over time, he knows good and well what he did was wrong. And hopefully over time, eventually he'll have charatza, he'll regret what he did, he'll do tshuva, perhaps he'll even try to return the money. In contrast, someone who litigates in civil court and wins an award, it's very unlikely for him to do tshuva. He's convinced he is right. He's convinced that had he gone to Bez, then he wouldn't get what he was entitled to. And therefore, while he's over the same Isser Gezela, it is less likely for him to do tshuva, and in that sense, it's going to be even more chomer. Now, when you're dealing with Arkois, this is an issue of tremendous concern to attorneys. Attorneys are trained in civil law. They're trained to litigate. And the question comes up, how do they address with this Isser Arkois? So let's deal with it on a few levels. Let's assume that the defendant comes to you and he's being sued Shaloi Kedin. He'd like to be in Beis Din, but he was never given the choice. He was never given the opportunity. The plaintiff just sued him in court, said, I'm not interested, I'm not coming to Beis Din. So certainly in a case like that, defending a client, there's nothing wrong with it. The client did nothing wrong. He prefers Beis Din. It's a good idea to make an attempt to formally send a hazmana to show that you'd rather be in Beis Din. We'll get to a bit later why this is true. But ultimately, if he's being forced to defend himself in court, he's allowed to defend himself, and therefore, that certainly would not create a problem. What if you're being retained by the plaintiff? So here, certainly, your first responsibility is to encourage him to go to a Beis Din. And as in a few moments, we'll discuss the concept of Heter HaKoyis. If the defendant refuses to come to Beis Din, then the Beis Din will allow the plaintiff to proceed in civil court. We'll get to that in a few moments. But in the absence of that, if your client is not interested in going to Beis Din, he simply wants to sue another frum yid in court, so you are now in a position where being the misayeya, or you're lifting the eva, or misayeya. You are helping your client do an iser. Now, the halacha in this case depends. We all know there's a concept of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver leisitei michshol, literally putting a stumbling block before a blind person. Anytime you help someone be over an iser, you yourself are over the iser of lifnei iver. However, according to many poskim, there's a very big exception. Lifnei iver applies only by chad avra dinara, where the fellow that comes to you, you have a nazir, he's not allowed to drink wine, you're holding a bottle of wine. He comes and he asks you for the bottle. If you refuse, he has no wine. He will not do anything wrong. If you hand him the bottle, you're enabling him to do the iser via your iver lifnei iver. However, in a case where he has easy access anyway, there are two bottles of wine. You're holding one. There's a guy holding another one. The nazir asks you for the wine. If you refuse, what's going to happen? He's just going to get the wine from the other person, from the guy who, there's no question, will give it to him. Now, in that case, even without your action, the iser would be done. So we hear, according to most poskim, in this case, chad avra dinara, here you will not be over iser doraisa lifnei iver. You're not the one who is causing the iser. Even without your actions, the iser will be done anyway. Now, although there's no iser midoraisa of lifnei iver, there is an iser midrabon of misayeya. Whenever you're helping someone do an iser, even though he'll do it without you, it's still going to be also because of misayeya. Now, going back to our case of an attorney, you have a client who wants to sue someone shaloi kedin. He should be in Beis Din. if you help him, is that an Isser of Lifneiver? So it depends. If you're the only attorney around, and if you refuse the case, it's not going to happen. He's going to be forced to go to Beis Din or just drop the matter. Then by filing on his behalf, there's an Isser d'oraisa of Lifneiver. However, if this is not the case, typically there are, you know, there's more than one attorney that's capable of doing this. There are plenty of goyish attorneys who don't have these restrictions. So if either way it's going to go to court, it's just a question of you're helping him. There it's not a shiloh of Lifneiver d'oraisa. Here it's a question of Misayeya, which is Midrabbano. Now in the Isser Misayeya, there are certain kulois. If the person's a mummer, if he's doing it lahachis. Again, these are not kulos which were saimach on l'kachila, but if it is a shas adchach, you can ask a shayla, and there are heterim in certain cases.
Well,
to the extent that you're referring, you're helping him. So we're back to the concept of misayaya. You are helping someone b'yoyver nisim. Now, I was in a shir for attorneys, and the Magid Shir was going through the halachas of Arkois, and he was being very harsh on the attorneys, and he told them straight out, if any of you represent a Jewish client, a plaintiff in Arkois, you're being over an Isser d'oraisa of Lifneiver. So one of the attorneys got very upset, and he said, what are you talking about? It's not Lifneiver. There are plenty of other lawyers around, and most it's Misayaya, and we have this heter that's it's a mummer. It's not a problem. So the Rav answered him with a lot of chachma. He turned to him and said, listen, if you truly believe, and he's talking to a very high-powered attorney, if you truly believe that attorneys are fungible, and the same way you could have handled the case, there could have been 30 other lawyers that could have done the same thing, then I'll accept your argument. It's not Lifneiver because it's Chadav Adinara, he could have done it without you. But if you're walking around telling everyone that I'm the only attorney, you should have seen what I did to this jury. I had them wrap around my little pinky. And no one else could have done a job like I did. You can't then at this turn around and say, but there's no Lifneiver because there are other attorneys out there. You can't have it both ways. So if you truly believe that you are the one that was able to get this through, someone else would not have been as talented and could not have gotten this job done, then you have to live with the consequences, and then you're being over an Isser Lifneiver d'oraisa. Oh, very good. Now, excellent. Now, it was a very clever answer, and it certainly put the attorney in his place, but it's not completely true. Because as we've developed, there are really two completely separate issues. There's an Isser of Arkois, which is litigating court, which is a Chilul Hashem, that has nothing to do with the outcome. Even if the outcome is fair, it's just, it's what the same thing that would happen in Beis Din. The very fact you're litigating in court, that's the Isser Arkois. There's a second, completely unrelated Isser of Gezela. That if you go to court and you recover more than you're entitled to Alpi Halacha, that extra is stolen money, as far as Halacha is concerned. So when we're dealing with a question of the Isser Arkois, it doesn't matter the skill of the attorney. Doesn't matter what the ultimate verdict will be, the very fact that he litigated in court, that will be an Isser Arkois regardless of what the result. It's only when we're discussing the Isser of Gezel, it's only when we're dealing with the fact that you got money shalik adin that you're not entitled to, there already we can discuss who's more talented, less talented, and what would have happened had another attorney taken the case. Okay, that's certainly true, but ultimately there certainly is misayaya going on. If this lawyer believes that he recovered $30 million, someone else would have only recovered $28 million, then he believes he was over Isser Lifneiver. Now, a Beis Din can't give malchus based on that belief, but if he wants to know, is this Lifneiver or misayaya? So to the extent that he recovered more, or he stole more than the other person would have been capable of, that's clearly Lifneiver. Now, this is all in the context of Lifneiver, Misayaya, but in truth is, if we continue a little bit, the Ramah adds on to the Mechaber, that besides the fact that it's Chirev, Gidev, and Hirem Yah, B'Teres Moshe, the Ramah adds that, actually it's from a Rivash, the Rivash was dealing with a case where a person went to Arkoy Shalai Kedin. So Rav Asher wrote a very, I'm sorry, it was Ma'arik, wrote a very strong letter saying he has to pull out right away. If he does not pull out of court right away, Ma'arik said, I mean, goyzer achera. And then he adds, the letter is written to the Rav of the Shtat. If the city doesn't back up this chera and implement it and force this person to pull out of court, he says that I'm putting the entire city in chayrim because they're ignoring the chayrim on the Yisra HaKais. So this comes to underscore the Chaymer Hadavar and the way the Ramah writes that anyone who is Yesh Lebezin Lin Doiso La'achrim Ayat Chesal Ge'agoyim Me'achavera, you put the person who went to court into chayrim. V'chein Machrimim Ha'machzik B'yad Ha'olach B'nei Goyim. Anyone who supports, who helps the fellow litigate Shaloi Kedin, is also put in chayrim. Now, going back to our case of an attorney, if the fellow is there shaloi kedin, he has no heter hakayis, we can have all sorts of lomdisha debates, whether it's lefeiva, whether it's misayaya, and which category this particular case falls into. But if the Ramah writes, being machzik yedei hoche hakayis, it's simply giving them support, helping them, is itself grounds for a chayrim. Certainly, a person who is involved in the litigation, certainly a person who is directing litigation, certainly included in this Ramah, and therefore, regardless of the technicalities of Neiva and Misayaya, it would be usher to help someone who is going to court, Shaloi Kedin. Now that the Mechaber laid the foundation and explained the Chomer Hadavar and the tremendous Isser involved in going to Arkais, he then proceeds by giving some heterim. And this is unfortunately more common than one would expect. But what happens if you have a dispute with another with a fellow, another yid? You would like to follow halacha. So you go, you ask him to come to Beis Din with you. He refuses. He refuses because he's a gavra alma. He refuses because he's heard horror stories. He refuses for whatever reason he may have. So what happens next? How do you recover what's due to you? So the Mechaber continues in Halacha Beis and says that Hoseyad Goyim Takifu Baldina Yolim Beinu Yochol Lahatzim Mimenu Bedina Bedina Yani Yisrael. If a person has a counterparty who is a Gavra Alma, he refuses to submit to Beis Din. So in that case, the Mechaber writes, when there is no choice, the halacha is noitel rishus mi Beis Din umatzo b'dine goyim miyad baldina. You get permission from Beis Din, and your matzel b'dine goyim, you go ahead, you pursue the matter in civil court to get what you're entitled to. So although the Mechaber writes, litigating in court is a tremendous kolasha, when the other party refuses to come to Beis Din, when there is no alternative, and the only way for you to recover what's due is to file in civil court, then Noitzel Rishos, Beis Din will give the party permission to go ahead and to litigate in civil court. Now the Achrayim explain that this is that Noitzel Rishos means that you can't on your own, when you get into a fight with someone, just decide he's never going to come to Beis Din, let me just go straight to court. There is an obligation to first turn to the Beis Din. The Beis Din will send a hazmana, they will summon the other party to appear in front of them. When the person ignores three hazmanas, or if he makes it clear to Beis Din that he is not going to accept their jurisdiction, at that point, the Beis Din will give a heter hakayis, they will give the plaintiff permission to go ahead and pursue the matter in civil court. Now, only after you get to Rishos. It's not like it's something. First, you go to Beis Din or turn to a Beis Din. If a person refuses to come, then and you get a heter hakayis, you can then try to compel arbitration. As a practical matter, if your contract has a dispute resolution clause that says it will go to Beis Din, then the courts can compel an arbitration. In the absence of that, when there's an matter, the courts have to deal with it. They don't have the right to send you to some religious tribunal to adjudicate the matter.
Who decides that a Beis Din has the authority to actually act as a Beis Din? Let's say I'm a Let's say I'm a sophomore apostate for argument's sake, and then I get summoned to Lubavitcher Beis Din, and, well, I'm not a Lubavitcher, why should I go to Lubavitcher Beis Din? Or if I'm a yeshivish from Lakewood, and I get summoned to the RCA, why do I get, who decides?
Okay, so I don't want to get too far into that topic, but the short answer is that any three people can send a Hazman. There's no, we don't have a bar association, we don't, today unfortunately we're in Golos, we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have any formal Batei Din. So any three people can send a Hazmana. However, when you get a summons, when you're called to a Beis Din, there is never or almost never an obligation to appear in front of the Beis Din that sent you the Hazmana. You have an obligation to respond. You have an obligation to say, I'm prepared to accept the jurisdiction of a Beis Din, but not you. I want to go somewhere else. And you'll have the right to do that. Now, what happens if you want to go to one Beis Din, the other person wants another Beis Din? At that point, something will have to be worked out, or you'll end up in a Zabla, where each person picks one Dayan and the two Dayanim together pick someone who's mutually acceptable for a third Dayan. That's a completely separate shir. But the short answer is anyone can send Hazmanas. No one can compel you to appear bedafka in front of them. Now, this is different when there is a Beis Din Kavua in the city. Now, I'm from Lakewood, in New York, that area, there are no Batei Din Kavua, so this doesn't apply. You do have smaller communities where there is one formal Beis Din that was set up by the Kehila. In that case, they may be able to compel you to appear in front of them. But again, I don't know the situation here, but in at least in New York, that doesn't exist.
These same things apply to someone who agrees with Beis Din's outcome. Let's say they will give him a certain amount of money, but he says straight out the reason why he wants to go to a civil court is only because he does want more money. He's a bad person.
So he's a guy. So he is both a Goslin and Mecharif Megayim here Miyam B'Teres Moshe.
He is agreeing that Beis Din is the right, is the true way, but I am a Ganav.
Okay, well, a ganav that sneaks into a bank one night and robs the money is simply being over the Yisr of Geneva. A ganav that uses a civil court to steal this along the way is Mechayref, Megadif, and Heir Miyav,
and
Teres
Moshe. And why is that? He's not being Mechayref. He's agreeing with
that might be his personal belief, but when he appears in front of the judge and they have a public court case, where one Jew is suing another Jew in court, they're very publicly stating that, forget halacha, I'd rather be here and I'd rather apply.
He wants more money. It's $10 million or $100. So he wants $10 million. Not
that might be true. But the same way a person who steals money privately is a ganav. A person that in broad daylight pulls out a gun and robs someone while wearing a yarmulke is creating a chilul Hashem. Someone who goes to court while being Jewish is mecharef and gadav here and biavitarius maisha along the way, besides for the fact that he is stealing. So this is the concept that if a person tries bringing it to Beis Din and the defendant refuses to come, Beis Din will issue a heter akois. Now a similar case is we occasionally will have cases where a person will say, I'll come to Beis Din, but I'm not willing to sign an arbitration agreement. Now, just a little background. In America, the way when you go to a Beis Din and you get a psak din, the way the psak is enforced is a Beis Din, if you sign an arbitration agreement, has the status of an arbitration panel. Once the correct documents are signed, then when the Beis Din issues an award, assuming they follow the rules, then you can then take that award, go to court, and get it confirmed. And the judge will rubber stamp it. He does not have the right to say, I don't like this verdict, the law is the other way. As long as you follow basic rules and the psak is not against public policy, it'll be confirmed, you'll be able to enforce it in court. You will occasionally have people who will say, I'm willing to come to Beis Din, but I'm not going to sign an arbitration agreement. Now what essentially he's saying is, I'll come to Beis Din, I'll go through the motions, if I win, good, and if I lose, go sue me. I don't want to give you the mechanism to enforce the psak din. So over here, the place can say that is the equivalent of saying, I am not showing up to Beis Din. And if he refuses to sign an arbitration agreement, although in halacha there's no concept of an arbitration agreement, but as a practical matter, since that is the only way to guarantee that the verdict will be enforceable, then saying I won't sign it is the equivalent of saying I'm not willing to show up. And the Bezdin will say, don't waste our time, and allow the plaintiff to go straight to HaKoyis, to go straight to court.
It sounds to me like if you're a young, new lawyer, you may have to go work for Shomer Shabbos law firm. Otherwise, how do you tell your boss if you're recommending that we don't do work for them?
Well, the hope is, and at least in Lakewood, I could say this is true, that you won't have from clients going to our Kodesh Shalai Kedin. If you have the unfortunate situation where there is a from client that comes to you, then certainly you should be doing what you can to get them to go to Bezdin. If not, he says, I don't care, even though the other party wants to go to Bezdin, I'm doing Shalai Kedin, you have a very serious problem on your hands. Okay, you have a serious problem on your hands. I can't answer that.
Doesn't it sound from the Shulchan Aruch that when there's a loss of money, the Beis Din will give you the shoes to go to?
No, that's only if someone owes you money and refuses to come to Beis Din, then they will give you a Heter HaKoyis. Because since that person is not coming to Beis Din, Basha Enkein in his case, where the defendant is happy to go to Beis Din, it's the plaintiff that says, I don't care, I want to sue him in court. Then you have a very serious trial on your hands.
Even though in both cases there's Chilul Hashem, there's two Jews.
So that is a good kasha. In other words, if such a big Chilul Hashem, so why is there a heter to go to court? Perhaps we should say, well, so there are different terutzim that they give. This is not already in the Achrayim. This is just terutzim they say today. One pshat is perhaps it's not a Chilul Hashem because you don't have a choice. Since that person refuses to come to bed, then you're not being Chilul Hashem. You're going to court because the other person might be going to Chilul Hashem, but that's not your doing.
Isn't it even more true in the case that I'm a lawyer employed by a firm?
No. Okay.
I am. Yeah. Can I ask in your app developer case? Let me make sure I know what we're talking about over here. So the app developer relies on the civil law.
I don't want to go into the details of the case because it's not important whether the app developer is right or wrong and what the halacha would be in that case. Well, bringing out the point.
The issue that I want to come to here is the Beis Din is assisting the violator of the contract in taking money out of the pocket of the app developer.
Okay, it's like this. The assumption that we're making here, and I said this is just an assumption for the sake of this year, is that based on halacha, looking at the facts of the case, the relationship between the parties, what was disclosed, what wasn't disclosed, taking everything into account, there was no obligation from the programmer to the app developer. Now, you can argue, you can be 10 reasons why that's not true. And maybe in this case, in halacha, he owes him $10 million also. That's not my point here. We're talking about our case, we're not talking about the halachas of intellectual property. What I'm bringing out is that you can have cases where halacha will have one verdict, and civil law will have a different result. And in that case, besides the issur of arkois, you'll deal with an issue of gezel if you are taking recovering monies that in halacha you're not entitled to.
So if that's the case, then there are a whole host of secular laws that Jewish business people cannot avail themselves of. So Jewish business people are in business together, but if the halacha doesn't recognize those rules, then they cannot avail themselves of those laws. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. 2 points. Number one, as I mentioned, there is a concept of dino machus adino, and there are minhagim. Many laws may be enforceable in halacha. However, we have other laws, and they're called Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch is a very detailed list of laws regarding many areas of Bein Adam Chadei of commerce, and those laws apply to Jewish business people. And therefore, when we have people who are doing business together within the community, besides for the civil laws, they should be aware of the halachas that apply and follow them. And when there is a dispute, Beis Din will have to look at halacha. They will have to look at the practice in the marketplace, which has an impact on the halacha. But ultimately, their verdict will be based on not simply civil law, but halacha as well. And that is what a person's chiyuv would be. And that is all the more reason why we should be having Yarchei Kalas and Shiurim to go through Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, because people who are in business, the same way people who have a restaurant hopefully know a bit about kashrus to make sure that what they're serving the public is consistent with halacha, people who are doing business should also have a basic knowledge of Choshen Mishpat to make sure they're running their businesses al pi halacha. But there certainly could be cases where there are conflicts and we would follow halacha.
they signed the non-disclosure agreement, how come there's no concept of maybe going with Kimi Shira Sadin?
There might be. Okay, there might be. And I very much, you know, don't want to get bogged down. It's possible that halacha might be the same as the civil law. I doubt it in this particular case, knowing the details, but it's possible. It's not the focus. Well, it's not what we're focused on. What I'm simply trying to bring out is that we have a Shulchan Aruch. And we have Shulchan Aruch has many different halachas. Not many of them are different than civil law. And there are cases where there will be a divergence of outcomes. And in those cases, saying, I want outcome in civil law instead of the outcome of halacha, is what the Mechaber refers to as Mecharef Megadef and Heir Miyad V'Tayros Maisha, in addition to an Isser of Gaza. Now,
do we have other problems like Mar Sinai situation where you get permission or whatever they find ways around it to go to civil court? Do we have problems like Mar Sinai?
No.
Not everybody sees background.
Okay, that's true. But Bezdin gives you Heter Arkoyis, and then once you get Heter Arkoyis, it's Moser. Now, interestingly enough, even when you get a Heter Arkoyis, there is an interesting, it's not Lukulayama, but there is an interesting, the Nesivas makes an interesting point. And he says like this. We've just developed the fact that we're dealing with two sets of issues. The Arkoyis, the litigating in court, and the issue of Gezel. What happens if the result in court is different than the result in Bezdin? Now, when you have a fight or dispute with someone and refuses to come to Bez and you get a Heter Arkoyis. So we've resolved the issue of Arkoyis. There's no problem going to court. You're allowed to go to court. But what's with the verdict? Are you allowed to collect on the verdict or do you have to worry perhaps this verdict is different or perhaps more than I'm entitled to Alpi Halach? So the Nesivus actually says a tremendous chiddush. The Nesivus says this entire concept of Heter Arkoyis is only when Bezdin determines that the plaintiff is right. His case, where basically there's money owed, the fellow's not paying, it's clear, there's clearly an obligation, the amount owed is clear, so there Bezdin, if Bezdin cannot collect it, they will send it to court. However, if it's a more complex matter, where Bezdin doesn't know who's right or who's wrong, or what the correct number should be, so then, even though we can resolve the problem of our case, how are we going to allow you to go to court if we have no way of dealing with the issue of Geza? We don't know, have no way of determining whether the verdict is acceptable in halacha. Now, although this is the Shita of the Nesivos, the Aruch HaShulchan actually takes it to the next step. He says that what does Bezdin do in a case where it's unclear? So normally, to have a Din Torah, you need both parties present. Both parties come, they present their claims, they present their evidence, Bezdin hears the parties, and they issue a verdict. In this case, the defendant refuses to come. We want to give the Heter Arkoyis. But we want the Heter Arkoyis to be fair and consistent with halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says is we have sort of like a fake Din Torah, and before we tell the plaintiff just go to court, we call him down, we ask him to present his case, present his evidence, and based on his verdict, the Bezdin will decide then whether it seems like he's right. Now again, they can't paskin, they only heard one side of the story. But if it seems like he's right, they will let him go to court and collect what it seems that he's entitled to. But if they see right away that his claim is frivolous or his claim would not prevail, then they would not give a Heter Arkoyis. Now, although there are such Ma'ar Mekaymes like this, the practice today is because Shloihei Choytei Nisgar, if the defendant refuses to go to Bezdin, but they didn't just give a Heter Arkoyis, they do not get involved in these matters. Basically, if the person wanted to do what's right, if he would come to Bezdin, he might be better off. But now that he refuses to, the practice today is to allow the plaintiff to go ahead and do whatever he needs to do in court and not to get involved.
So he can collect all the amount? He doesn't have to worry about maybe not.
It's like this.
$1 million,
he got $2 million. It's like this. Well, so the halacha is like this. And let me just go through one more halacha, then I'll address your points. What happens if a person, this is actually is involved with a story where there were two partners and there was a person who was managing the business was a real crook. The investor realized what was going on, so he tried bringing him to Bezdin. This manager, besides being a crook, was a loy tzayis din and refused to come to Bezdin. He ignored the hazmanas. And finally, a Bezdin gave a Heter Arkoyis and allowed the investor to go to court to try to recover what was due to him. It goes to court, And the beginning of the court case, they immediately started doing discovery. And in the initial stages of discovery, the moment they started looking over the books, they found it was $980,000 worth of checks written out to cash in $5,000 increments. There was clearly something fishy going on. Now, as an amazing coincidence, the day after this embezzlement was discovered, the manager was Chayzer B'tshuva, and said, "Now I'm ready to go to come to Beis Din. I realized I did something Shulei Kedin. I'm ready to come to Beis Din." So what's the halacha? How do you deal with a case where a party, the matter goes to court, and after they finish the court case, the party that loses now says, "Now I want to do tshuva. Now I'd like to deal with the matter in Beis Din." So the halacha is the Ramah Paskins Ein Nizkakin. Once a party goes to court, Shulei Kedin. Once they refuse to go to Beis Din and now they lost, now they suddenly want to do tshuva, Ein Nizkakin. We say you lost your opportunity, you lost your chance. Beis Din is not going to deal with the matter. Now the question is why? Why? We've just explained by Arichus that if Halacha says you're entitled to $10,000 and the court awards you $50,000, that extra amount is stolen. So after the fact, why doesn't Beis Din get involved to go ahead and force the plaintiff to return the excess money? So the Tumim brings down two potential reasons. One reason, he says, is perhaps it's like Misachet B'Kovya. Perhaps when the defendant says, "I want to go to court," he refuses to come to Beis Din. So at that point, he's basically agreeing to abide and to accept whatever the verdict of the court is. If two parties agree to do it, although it's usur because of Chilul Hashem, but if they agree to do it, they are bound to the outcome. That's one possibility. The second possibility that the Tumim suggests is perhaps the knas. It's a penalty. Really, Beis Din should get involved and make sure you only collected what's due. However, as a knas, because this person refused to submit to Beis Din will now not get involved. Ein nizkakin. There are two very important nafkamidas between these approaches. What happens if the defendant refuses to go to Beis Din? The plaintiff has no choice, he goes to court. Now the plaintiff is not so convinced that he's really going to win in court. So he goes ahead and he bribes the judge. He bribes the judge, and lo and behold, he wins the case. Is he allowed to keep this money or not? So it's up to him. It depends. If the reason why when you go to court you're stuck with the outcome is because it's like the parties accepted it, it's true the defendant accepted to go to court, but he accepted to follow civil law. He didn't accept a verdict based on a bribe. And therefore, he would have the right to overturn it and bring it back to Beis Din. Masha Enkein, if it's a knas, if the reason is that Beis Din just says to the defendant, "You didn't want to come to Beis Din until now that you lost, don't come back to us crying. It's a knas, we're not helping you out." Then it doesn't matter how the verdict came about. Bottom line is there's a knas, and Beis Din will not reopen the matter. No, not at all. This is
just a little wrong.
Correct. This is a theoretical nafkamina. So the Nesiva says that it is a knas. It's a knas. Beis Din will not get involved with someone who refused to submit to Beis Din. However, the Nesiva says a tremendous chiddush. He says that after the plaintiff wins the case, it's true Beis Din won't get involved. But what the plaintiff should do, after he collects his $30 million and he's on the way to deposit the check, he should stop by a Rav and sit down with him, explain to him the case, and ask him, am I really entitled to this money or not? Now, the defendant will not be able to bring you to Beis Din. Beis Din says, "Knas, we're not touching the case." But that doesn't mean the plaintiff is entitled to more than he is entitled to al-pi halacha. And therefore, he says that the plaintiff has a personal obligation to figure out what the halacha should be, and he can only accept that amount. So while Beis Din won't get involved, they won't touch it, as a personal obligation, he has a responsibility to check what's going on and only take what he's entitled to. Now, another important point to realize is that when you do have a heter hakayis, when Beis Din allows you to go to court in order to recover what's due to you, that is a heter hakayis. The idea is to allow you to recover money that you're owed. Since Beis Din is not able to deal with it, the person refuses to come. It is not a heter mesira. It is not a reason just to go to the feds and start going ahead and trying to get him thrown into jail or getting him into trouble. That's not going to help you. Your goal is to recover the funds. You can file a case civilly, and you can try to recover. But just to do things to get him into trouble and to create a criminal record just to get even is not included in Heter HaKoyis. Now, it's possible that when you file civilly, if he did something wrong, he may end up going to jail. The judge may end up referring it to the DA. And that's a consequence, and that's one of the many consequences of someone being a Messiah of Ladin. But to go ahead and to actively just to try to get him into trouble, not in the context of suing civilly, but just to get even or to get him into trouble, there is generally no heter when you're dealing with a simple financial matter. Now, one other important heter, and this is not l'kulei alma, but and that is by a choyv borer. Sometimes you're dealing with a case where there's no litigation. It is clear the person borrows money, he just didn't pay you back. There's nothing to litigate about. He's not denying the choyv. He's not saying he doesn't owe it to you. He's just a gavra alma. He's someone who you can't force him to pay. So there are ma'arim ha'koymes that say that by a choyv borer, when there's no litigation, there's no iser of arkois. Number one, it's not litigation. It's just a collection activity. And but they didn't. You're not rejecting Torah's Moshe. There's no issue. There's no dispute about the facts. It's simply a question of forcing him to pay. And since today, but they didn't do not have shaitrim. They don't have a sheriff on staff. They have no way. They don't have people who can force him to pay. You're going to court, which is the body that is capable of enforcing the halacha of the rules and making him pay up. Now, although this is somewhat controversial, how nevertheless, today, especially if you see the person is draining a cup, and even if he goes to Beis Din, he's going to do it as a delaying tactic, there certainly is strong basis in halacha to allow the plaintiff to go straight to court and not to go through Beis Din if it will just delay the matter and it won't really resolve anything. Now, it is something you should ask a shayla, because very often, what is a choyev borer, an undisputed debt to the plaintiff, the defendant may have a different opinion about the matter, and he may have all sorts of defenses and reasons why he believes he does not owe it to you. He might be wrong, but then already it's litigation. Now already we have a court or a Beis Din has to hear both sides and determine who's right, and in that case, his heter would not apply. It's only when there's no dispute about the money owed, it's simply a question of forcing him to pay, there already the concept of this choyev borer will apply. And one last, just ending off, one last etza is that when you're dealing with people within the frum community, it's a good idea if there's a contract to make sure that within the contract there is a dispute resolution clause. And the reason for that is that once a fight breaks out, you don't know where it'll head. You can have one party can refuse to submit to Beis Din. You can have parties that disagree which rov or which Beis Din to go to, and it could be a serious mess. Masha Enkein, when you're first entering into a deal, when you're signing a contract, if you simply put in a paragraph that if there's any dispute, you decide which Beis Din and which Rav will deal with the matter, a dispute resolution clause is generally enforceable in halacha. If you do that, then if there is any issue, even if one party tries to avoid Beis Din, the courts will remand it to arbitration because the parties contractually agreed to it in the beginning, and therefore it's certainly a good an etza teva, both on a practical level and to make sure that a person is not over the issur of arkois. Thank you.